Great. Well, everybody, welcome to the Hangout in the Holy Land, the official podcast of landgrantholyland.com, your free premier resource for all things Ohio State news. I'm your host, Matt Brown. I'm joined today by our writers, Chuck and Luke, who are our editors, Chuck and Luke, to discuss a big development here within the Ohio State quarterback situation this week. Real quick, you can follow us on Twitter at landgrant33. You can shoot me an email about the show at matt.brownsbnation.com. We're on Facebook. We're on every other important social media, and we're on iTunes, iTunes.com/SBNation or iTunes.com/LandGrantHolyLand. Now that the glow of the national championship has started to die down just a teensy little bit, we can focus our attention now to the basketball team and the major stories here for the football team leading into next season, not the least of which, of course, is who's going to be playing quarterback. Yesterday, we got that became even more muddied, I guess, when Cardale Jones, who was rumored to be leaning towards going into the NFL, calls this big press conference at his high school alma mater, and then trolls everybody by announcing that he's coming back and saying, I don't really know why you guys made such a big deal out of this. So we know Jones is coming back. We know JT Barrett's coming back. We don't really know exactly what's happening with Braxton Miller or what all this means here. So I guess I'll start with you, Chuck. What did you think about all of this press conference here, and what does this mean for Ohio State?
Yeah, I was incredibly surprised. I think when he announced, you know, typically you don't announce a presser at your high school a couple hours away from campus if you're doing anything other than taking off to go capitalize on your talents and make some money in the NFL. So I was incredibly surprised that we went through all that fanfare just to find out that he's coming back for another year. And so things are decidedly even less clear than they were even 24 hours ago as far as what the Ohio State quarterback situation might look like heading into 2015. And so I think we're in for a wild and hot take filled summer as far as the quarterback situation is concerned.
I was really concerned that we weren't going to have enough takes to potentially last us throughout this entire offseason. Hopefully, we don't burn through all of them here within January. This is definitely going to be a veritable take factory with what's going on. I saw a lot of people throughout the internet, obviously with a lot of strong opinions about this, saying that maybe Jones made a mistake. Luke, if you were in the position to offer advice one way or another, would you have told Jones to stay? Do you think he should have left?
Oh, I mean, it's his decision first and foremost. So it's tough for me to put myself in his shoes, even kind of given all the factors and sort of like having analyzed the situation. You know, I would say that from my vantage, if I was in Cardale's shoes, I would have struck when the iron was hot. But I don't think he necessarily made a poor decision by returning to school. I think something that has sort of changed in my mind over the better course of the last, 12, 16 hours since this happened is that he's going to be the only guy getting, you know, valuable spring repetitions and early summer reps. So that's not nothing. And I think if he gets a leg up on JT Barrett and Braxton Miller and becomes the starter, then this is, you know, all for naught. I mean, I guess there's always the possibility that his play somehow doesn't live up to the lofty standards that he and his predecessors have set for themselves, and that hurts his draft stock. But I think, like, he was realistically a third or fourth round pick no matter what. And unless, you know, just disaster strikes, he'll be that again. So the biggest risk to me is more the injury thing than play. Even if he doesn't play, I mean, he still has those three games of tape. He's still kind of a physical wonder. He'll get drafted. I think, you know, if he wants to be the first person from his family to graduate from college, I think we should commend him for that. But that's not to say that it isn't a gamble. It definitely is.
Chuck, what do you think?
Yeah, I tend to agree there, and I hadn't really considered the fact that neither JT Barrett or Braxton Miller will actually be able to really go as far as meaningful snaps in spring practice goes. And so, you know, it just goes to show you the sort of futility of trying to project the depth chart while another for the following season while one season is still going on, because, you know, we had talked about Jones as a transfer prospect, as probably the fifth stringer heading into next season, just ahead of Stephen Collier on the depth chart with Joe Burrow and Torrence Gibson coming in. So, I think it's fine decision to stay in school. You know, I, as somebody without NFL draft prospects, I went ahead and got my degree too.
What?
I can't fault him for that. But
Chuck, what was your grade from the NFL draft evaluation committee? Like mid round pick or late round pick?
Yeah, I, you know, not a lot of NFL GMs really appreciate grinders these days. I'm a real lunch pail guy, first in, last out. But you know, if nothing else, I know that PFT commenter probably would have taken me in the first two rounds. So
that's good for me. I saw some of the anonymous scouts reports on you, Chuck, and quite frankly, I think a lot of the allegations there about your integrity were really pretty concerning. Also, I heard that you have soft shins, and that's not going to really work in the NFL.
You know what? I just gotta get out there and let my play speak for itself, I guess.
I am personally not unsympathetic to people who you know felt like you should have gone in the NFL. You know, on one hand, you have. I think all three of us agree that he's not, I quote, ready for the NFL, right? Like, if Cardale Jones is your starting NFL quarterback in week one, I think you have a big problem. The lack of repetition at the college level, there's the lack of really having access to the entire full playbook. Sure, but if you have a chance to develop somewhere where you're going to get paid and a chance to develop somewhere where you're not going to get paid, you typically pick the one that's going to pay you. But I completely understand the allure of wanting to. I mean, going back to school is never a bad thing. I really get the allure of being the first guy in your family to go to college. As a fan, I'm really glad to have him. I understand why some people were saying he should have left, but it'll be great for him. And yeah, you're right. It's great that he gets to have all of those reps here. Unless of course Collier then becomes Joe Montana, since that seems to be what happens whenever we go down the depth chart.
The lack of repetitions, the lack of being exposed to a full playbook. Where did we hear these things about Cardale Jones as the starter before? No, I'm just kidding. I think that, in all seriousness, he certainly made a decision that he thinks was best for him. I think what really is ridiculous is people that are getting indignant because he somehow, like, disrespected the process or disrespected their time with the NFL. Like, they need to get over themselves. Dak Prescott had a press conference as well to announce he was returning. Sure, it was at his college. But, I mean, it was a great opportunity for him to shine some light on a really positive social situation at the school that, you know, that he is an alumni of and you know, makes at-risk youth like himself more successful. And so for him to buck trends and you know, tell a school and a community that the value of education is high, I think that says a lot about his character and his maturation as a person and a player.
If you're somebody who like legitimately got upset over that press conference or about you having to drive to Cleveland maybe unexpectedly, like, you need to get the hell over yourself. Like, if you're a fan, like I tweeted about this. Like, I don't understand how you could like college football and be mad that a rare, interesting, engaging personality dared to do something unexpected and trolled some media members. Like, how could you not like that? I would love to have a dozen more Cardale Jones people in college football than a dozen more bland proto NFL automatrons. Like, hooray, people being different.
Yeah. Speaking of that, how soon we forget that Matt Barkley did something kind of similar 2 years ago or 3 years ago when he announced that he was returning to USC for his senior season, except he did it with Christmas ornaments on his coach's tree with cameras there and everything. So as far as the drama level goes, this could have been much higher.
Yeah. So here's something that I've been thinking about a lot since just looking on Twitter over the last like day and a half. It seems like people are many fans and a couple of writers have already decided like, okay, Cardale, he's not only is he going to have these extra snaps here in the spring, he should be the starter, even if everybody else is healthy. Do you guys agree? Like, I realize I may be going on an island here, and I like a lot of things about Jones' game, but I think I would rather have JT Barrett or Braxton Miller. And the big reason for that is I think that you have more of the read option game with one of those two quarterbacks than you do with Jones, who's this very impressive guy physically and has this great arm. And for all of the excellent things that he did in those three games, he was averaging like less than 2 yards a carry. Just from that limited sample size, maybe I'd like somebody who has access to the entire playbook and can run that a little bit more. But maybe I'm full of crap. Like, what do you? I guess we'll start with you, Chuck. Like, assuming everybody's healthy, who would you prefer to start for Ohio State?
My perfect scenario is honestly JT Barrett starting. I kind of feel like we've seen Braxton Miller's ceiling as a starter, which granted is incredibly high. And he's done an incredible amount for this team and this program. But selfishly, I enjoy watching JT Barrett the most of the three of them. And I think he's sort of he's a nice combination of a incredibly accurate passer combined with that running threat that, like you said, Jones, he's good for one or two big running plays a game, or at least important running plays a game, if not breakout ones. But yeah, in a vacuum, I would rather have Barrett starting at QB than Jones. It sounds crazy. It's so Miracle is like my favorite sports movie of all time. And I feel a little bit like the scene where they're picking the team for that, where Herb Brooks, the coach, just won a national championship with Dave Janicek, a goalie at Minnesota, and picks a different goalie to start over him on the Olympic team. So, you know, it sounds crazy to say a little bit, but yeah, I think I would rather have Barrett.
What about you, Luke?
You know, it's so hard to project because I don't know what, you know, Braxton and JT are going to be 100% when they get back. If Braxton's not the same thrower, if Braxton is, you know, his accuracy, I think, was already the subject of criticism. If that is somehow dropped off from the lack of reps or the lack of, you know, seeing meaningful playing time for the better part of a year and change, then, you know, I think that, you know, maybe you look at JT. Is JT going to be the same? If JT is not, then, you know, the conversation shifts to Cardale. But I think there's, you know, I've come more and more each day around to the idea that, you know, if there was a game this weekend or next weekend, Cardale absolutely has to start, even if both other guys are 100%. I think continuity is important. You know, I think all three guys have shown their ability to step up when the situation dictates it, and that's important. But I think, you know, come next fall, it's impossible to say what these three guys will look like developmentally. Cardale will have, you know, the lion's share of the reps for the better part of the entire spring and summer. So that's not nothing. And I think that if he does continue to mature his game, he does things in terms of stretching the field the other guys don't. So, man, like, I can't believe I'm falling into this camp. But King Cardale, like, that's kind of where I'm leaning right now. Even if the other guys are, you know, I think have Barrett be the backup for 1 year. Cardale, let him have his final season. Then he can go pro and let, you know, Braxton move to H-back wide receiver since he's not going to be a quarterback in the NFL either way. That's kind of like, I think, my preferred outcome right now. I think if I had to project it right now, I would say Braxton is the front runner if he's healthy, but it's just so hard to say.
Yeah, I spent all season, I think, talking about how I thought Braxton was going to be the front runner. But of course, all that was before King Cardale happened and all of this. So it becomes a more complicated conversation.
Yeah, I was going to say Chuck was earlier, like, we can't be speculating these things in season. That is false, sir. We will write so many articles about the 2016 depth chart this coming fall.
Yeah, oh, well, listen, we all got to eat. And the long doldrums of the summer are not that far away. And will we have a JT Barrett article every Tuesday? I'm not going to say that we won't.
Can JT Barrett hold off Stephen Collier to get ready for the 2016 opener?
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, hard charging Joe Burrow. Is he going to be fifth or sixth on the depth chart?
Click go on freaking, Landry. Hey, he tweeted last night, go freaking Bucks or freaking go Bucks or something like
that.
He
did. Hopefully that shuts up Nebraska.
So much for the Nebraska Rivals Board rumors that he decommitted on the spot the moment he saw Tim Beck, his arch nemesis, apparently.
Yeah, Tim Beck probably shouldn't have showed up to that in-home meeting wearing like a snidely whiplash, like mustache and tying damsels to train tracks or something.
He probably showed up like, you know, Matthew McConaughey at True Detective going to Woody Harrelson's place, like completely drunk and like grieving the loss of Joe Burrow's verbal commitment to Nebraska, and it just didn't really leave a good impression.
He's got like a sad bunch of flowers in his hand that he's just trailing behind him and furiously drinking coffee in the yard, trying to sober up so he can make conversation. I love it.
And then leaves by stomping his muddy boots all over Joe Burrow's couch. I understand why maybe Tim Beck won't be invited back into the home. No, it's just so crazy to have these three really good quarterbacks or two really good quarterbacks and one exceptional athlete. I mean, Ohio State's loaded all over the field, but if perhaps there's one position group on offense that has a little bit less depth, it might be wide receiver, given that Spencer and Smith are leaving. So if Braxton Miller were to slide in there, that could potentially be excellent. But we don't know. What we see right now, I think, is going to be very different from where things are in March and in April and throughout the summer as people's health changes as after spring camp, and we'll kind of go from there. But it is fun to talk about.
Well, since we're in the mood for wild speculation.
Absolutely.
So, obviously, this isn't going to happen, as we know. But had Cardale Jones gone to the NFL, you know, declared for the draft this year, what's your honest assessment of how things might have shaken out for him either this year or, you know, just down the road in terms of as a viable NFL starter, sort of getting thrust in the fire like that? Like, would he really be more raw than somebody like Logan Thomas, who saw time for the Cardinals this year thanks to injury and then didn't see time for the Cardinals in their playoff game, despite Ryan Lee being the worst quarterback of all time?
Cardale Jones is already more physically gifted than both of those guys. I mean, he's already like what Logan Thomas was supposed to be, what Virginia Tech fans talked him up for the better part of his entire tenure as a Hokie. I think that, you know, I would take Cardale Jones over Tom Savage, the Texans' third-string quarterback who started a game this year. I might even take Cardale over Case Keenum, who, you know, won a game to put the Texans in, like, you know, prayer playoff scenario and probably, you know, but Bill O'Brien being a quarterback whisperer aside, if you put Cardale in a situation like that, you know, why not, right? Like, he definitely would be a developmental guy, but I think, you know, if he goes to a place where he can sit and learn for a couple of years and get paid to do so, you know, I think that that would, it's tough, it's impossible to say how much better he'd get. It would all depend on how hard he worked, how much he took to the lifestyle adjustments and sort of the rigors of the NFL, but you know, I would take a flyer on him in the fourth or fifth, maybe even as high as the third round, depending on what team I am.
Yeah, so much of this varies, I think, about the, you know, your fit and the kind of team, right? Like, if you put a developmental quarterback in a thoroughly dysfunctional organization, like perhaps the Cleveland Browns, would I feel really good about his development? Probably not. If he went somewhere, I mean, I can imagine Cardale Jones going somewhere like the Patriots and learning and then being flipped for like a second rounder or a far superior draft situation a couple years later and then being highly productive. If he has a great quarterback coach, sure. Who knows? I would be a little bit surprised even next year if he's picked up and then becomes like an immediate starter. But then he'll be making hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, to learn how to play football a little bit better. That's
what you mean after he wins the Heisman Trophy and Ohio State repeats, like, you don't think he's going to be a first-round pick?
Well, I think then he'll be like a zero-round pick. He'll just, you know, they wouldn't even bother having the draft. People will just trade for the rights to him.
Here was an interesting, Cardale fit, I guess. Urban Meyer has that relationship with Bill Belichick, and Belichick has taken flyers on guys like Brian Hoyer and Ryan Mallett in the past. Like, imagine if he'd gone there and gotten, you know, they already have their quote-unquote QB of the future and scrappy Jimmy Garoppolo. And, like, who's to say that other than college starts that, you know, I think Braxton is probably a better athlete than Garoppolo. I can say that pretty confidently.
I bet he'd win an arm wrestling competition, too. Which I think is how other depth chart situations are resolved. Like, who the hell knows? You know, I maybe you guys probably know this better than I do because I don't really watch the NFL. But I know he's got a gigantic arm and he's really good at football. And so if he gets a good coach.
Speaking of that, how about to solve the quarterback controversy? We just have a series of circle drills, and I think Cardale would have the edge there. But you never know. Get some leverage low. Maybe if Braxton's 100%, that shoulder holds up. He can drive some people.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Gibson would probably not win that. Could be a little bit of a disadvantage in that one. Chuck, were you going to say something?
Oh, no, I was just going to say that I saw a great tweet yesterday saying that the Ohio State's quarterback situation for next year should be JT Barrett on Braxton Miller's shoulders, on Cardale Jones' shoulders, under a big trench coat. I was also going to say, as a Broncos fan, I mean, my dream scenario would have been for Jones to declare for Peyton Manning to stay one more year. And so we'd have both Brock Osweiler, who's like 6'9", and Cardale Jones, who's 6'5", backing up Peyton Manning. And once Manning retires, we could just assemble like some gigantic quarterback Voltron to take down the rest of the AFC West.
the greatest front court in the AFC West by far.
Yes, yes.
At the quarterback position. Yeah, that'd be great. That's the equivalent of like the bear like holding a shark in terms of like dangerousness, having all those guys together, maybe find some ways to get them both on the field at the same time. Like, I think it was Louisiana Monroe did that a couple of times and maybe one of the other Sunbelt schools. We could just go run the straight, like the A11 offense and just for kicks and giggles. And you imagine, like, just trying to imagine like Jerry Kill or Kirk Ferentz trying to like decipher tape of that. I'd be just getting all mad. Like, this isn't the way God intended us to play football. Two quarterbacks running around. Like, it'd be great. The trolling level would be perfect.
Yeah, so many hot takes. We'd, you know, just melt the faces of a number of awful football columnists who fill their column inches with latent racism and, nostalgia about the game being played the right way in the old days. And I would love nothing more than to see that shot down.
Now yeah. You actually have me sort of remiss that Cardale didn't go pro, because imagine a Nolan Naraki scouting report of like, Cardale Jones didn't even have a two-parent household. How much can we trust him to throw the football accurately?
I feel like we're going to get enough of those this year. I imagine the novel he's going to write about Jameis Winston will fulfill any of our, like, you know, urges to read any of that kind of tripe. You know, the one for Jones, I'm sure that he's going to write it next year, would be not safe for work. We already saw what the PFT guy already wrote about him, like, immediately, like, criticizing and having the audacity to tell inner-city school children to stay at school. So it would only be worse.
Yeah, Matt, you know what would have been more humble and set a better example, though, is if he had just gone to class instead of not going to class.
That was my favorite hot take. Like, Cardale didn't even have class until Tuesday. So the guy is, like, you know, he's basically in his final year of college. He's probably taking a load. You know, maybe his classes are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday or something. Or maybe he had a Thursday morning class. Like, that was so idiotic. Like, yeah, he's going to skip school to go announce that he's staying in school. Right. Okay, one, how many, like, amongst us ever didn't skip a class? Like, second, like, the people tweeting this stuff, they don't know his schedule. They don't know anything. That was just so beyond idiotic.
Wasn't he actually, like, spending the day before visiting his, like, sick uncle in, like, hospice or something? So he, like, already was going to be up near Cleveland anyway?
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, to pretend that he couldn't, you know, from my experience, from having a student-athlete roommate and from, you know, hanging out with some basketball and football players, like, typically those guys have classes between, like, 7 and 9 a.m. They get their entire day out of the way. Some of them don't have classes 5 days a week, and that way they can go practice because they spend, you know, 50 to 60 hours a week prepping for their sport and or playing their sport. So,
don't tell the NCAA.
Yeah, so to – no, I mean, within, you know, right? But – you know, within
your quotes right
now. So he could have very easily had 1 7:30 class, gone to it. You know, Cleveland's 2.5 hours away. Like, it's just insane to think that logistically it wasn't possible.
Yeah.
My spring quarter of my senior year, I had class Tuesdays and Thursdays. I just had 3 back to back, and otherwise I was just living the dream for 5 days a week. You know,
I had that, I think, my junior year, except it was like 4 classes. I took 20 hours over 2 days, and that was just a grind because it was so hard to motivate myself to do that, like, mountain of homework I had every Monday.
Yeah.
So I just wound up getting, like, mostly C's and, you know, living the dream anyway.
C's get degrees.
Two, sir.
Yeah, no, it's that's the dumbest of takes, and I think we're going to see many more of those, not just about him specifically, but about how Meyer is going to handle this QB controversy and how I'm sure it's going to be poison in the locker room and why Minnesota, the true school of heroes, will end up winning the Big Ten. Mike Hall. Like, that's our offseason, and, you know, we should enjoy basketball while we can and prep ourselves for the cold, dark summer ahead.
I love how, despite the Michigan hiring of Jim Harbaugh and sort of the renewal of that rivalry, you and Luke are single-handedly, or double-handedly, I guess, doing your best to just get a firm footing in on the ground floor of this new Ohio State-Minnesota rivalry.
I don't know exactly how that started, right? Because I don't dislike Minnesota fans. I like the school. I like the Twin Cities a lot. If it wasn't cold as balls, you know, maybe that's a place that I'd want to go live. Like, it was funny. Before that actual Ohio State-Minnesota game, like, Luke and I talked a couple of times in the office, and I almost wrote this. Like, if Minnesota left the Big Ten, would you even care? And I wouldn't I couldn't name more than, like, 3 Minnesota Gophers or major Ohio State-Minnesota football games throughout my life. Like, it's Maroney, and I can't remember another guy that I really hate.
Eric Decker. Eric Decker is now catching passes for the New York Jets.
I liked Eric Decker. I interviewed Eric Decker when he was a baseball player, when I was working with Chris Webb breaking down, like, Big Ten baseball. Like, I don't have any qualms with him. And then I don't know if it was the Big Ten Coach of the Year thing, which, you know, I'm not done tearing that to shreds. Like, that's my dead horse that I'm going to beat this offseason. Or, you know, just the Minnesota fans, like, hey, look, we haven't completed a pass in 2 weeks and we're like 60 and F plus, but we're great. I don't know what that is, but something set me off. And, you know, I'm sure that, you know, we'll write our anti-Harbaugh pieces or our Michigan stuff later when they become good again. But Minnesota is, like, public enemy internet number one for me right now.
It was really, yeah, I think, like, I like our Minnesota site. Like the managers and had met one of the managers this last offseason and, you know, talked all about what their, you know, season was going to be like. And I think the season was a little bit better than I expected. And I think that just once all the buzz about Jerry Kill, especially before they'd actually accomplished anything, was going to, like, be a shoo-in to get Coach of the Year just because he was healthy and they were, like, had – gotten back to their pre-Tim Brewster levels. You know, we disagreed with that, and for whatever reason, their fans have become incredibly sensitive to any and all criticisms. Like, and that's the ridiculous thing, is I know it's the French, but there are like otherwise smart, you know, sports smart Minnesota fans that think that their team is going to like be a juggernaut, or like are on the verge of going like 10-2 or 11-1 every year, which is just insane.
Yeah, I think for me that was the biggest shock, was not the Minnesota fans so much, but finding out that Maryland fans are secretly like the darkest corner of the internet.
No, dude, Maryland fans are.
I had no idea.
We were all warned too. That's the thing. Like, I went to a Maryland Miami game like my first month or second month living in DC after I got hired by SB Nation in 2011, and it was the most vile, racist, vulgar, disgusting fan base in terms of the students. I mean, I don't want to speak about everybody that was at Bird Stadium. The weather was really crappy, and there were just these kids that were like calling Hispanic people the N-word and stuff like that. Like, who does that to strangers in public? And like, you know, I had been told by ACC fans, and I just assumed ACC fans were thin-skinned. And it's no, they're like, there's a lot of really nutso Maryland fans. There's a lot of good ones too. Like, I love our guys at our Testudo Times, but some of their commenters are just. You know, I gave them a compliment. I was like, I can't believe Rutgers and Maryland are as good as they are in like week 12. And then all of the at tweets and Land Grant were just like, we suck. Maryland is trash. Fire Edsel. What a joke we are, and all this stuff. It's like, just take the damn compliment.
Yeah. Chuck, did I ever tell you my Maryland fan story?
You may have. I'm not sure.
About field hockey?
No, I guess not.
Okay. All right. I'll tell this one real quick. This was me getting baptized into Terrapin Nation. So my freshman year of college, this was 2005. I was at American University before I transferred to Washington, before I transferred to Ohio State. And American, at that time, I guess kind of still down.
Did we lose Matt?
Can you still hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So back then, like, American doesn't have a football team. They don't have a lacrosse team or a baseball team. And their basketball team back then sucked. So like the one thing that they were really good at was field hockey. They're like a top 10 field hockey program. And their big rival, who also has an elite field hockey program, you know, just up the road, is Maryland. So I'm in the pep band, which is a really kind of depressing thing in a place like America. We all go down to the field hockey field, where there's maybe 200 people there, and you know, I've got my little drums, and I'm playing, and like this cascade of minivans, soccer moms from Maryland come down, and they're all like middle-aged ladies along the sides. And there hasn't been too many times in my life when I've had ethnic slurs yelled at me. But like from these soccer moms, we're saying horrible things to me, the little like freshman pep band drummer. And then they vandalized the chapel on campus. They're like, they wrote something with like chalk or, you know, and, you know, slurs from like Terpination or whatever. It's freaking field hockey. And so if they're going to do that for a sport that like really nobody actually follows, like Lord help the basketball fans. Like that's a dark place in the internet.
Yeah, that is crazy. Matt, I'm curious. While you were in the American University pep band, were you given any derogatory nicknames by your fellow band members that your director lost control of and pretended to overlook until he was forced to? By the
So my director was actually fired after my freshman year, although nothing for anything like that. And I wasn't hazed, although the athletic director at American University did scream and swear at me because I accidentally almost caused the basketball team to lose, like single-handedly. Apparently, you're not allowed to play drums during a free throw. That's an artificial noisemaker. Like, no one told me that. And they had to and I did it, and they made, and like the referee stopped the game and like made them reshoot a free throw. Thankfully. They missed that one too, but there was some concern I wasn't going to make it out of the arena alive.
That's hilarious. That's not top 10 material. I also, your story got me thinking about Ohio State as far as non-revenue sports go. And so the real question for me becomes, now that Ohio State has won a national championship in football, are we still just a rowing school, or, you know, has football sort of supplanted our women's rowing team as the school champs? I'm not really sure. I mean, the women's rowing team could three-peat this season. So
Urban Meyer is going to have to win at least two more titles before we can say that this isn't a rowing school. Let's be real here. This, like, we know what pays the bills.
Yeah. We didn't come to play school. We came to row boats.
That's right.
That's the Ohio State University story.
Yeah. Should the Midwest ever be invaded by an opposing Navy, I am confident that the students at Ohio State will do their part.
Ohio State also, I'm not sure that they're still good, but I know at one point they had a top 10 rifle program. So I think if we put those two together, we have quite the stout Navy.
Yeah, a guy on my floor freshman year was actually on the fencing team and was coming off a national championship win in fencing as well. So,
speaking of rifle, the super sad thing there is that Navy, Army, and Air Force are not like power programs. I think one of them was in the top 10, which is mildly disturbing, but.
Yeah, it's like, it's like West Virginia, right? Like that makes sense because their mascot has a freaking gun. that's like part of your meal plan, right? Like, all right, here's your card and here's your gun.
University of Alaska Fairbanks was really good when I was in school, which makes sense because they have to hunt their own food to survive, probably.
I was going to say those kids in West Virginia have been, you know, their first birthday present was probably a Red Ryder rifle. So, you know, a lot of guys in the Army and Navy probably didn't use a rifle until they actually got to the Army or the Navy, but. You know, kids in the boonies of America have quite a head start.
It's true. Listen, I played the Yukon Trail, so I know just how hard life is in Alaska and getting up there. So I'm pretty much
Yukon Trail, underrated computer game from back in the day. You know, you had to fill out that logbook, and it would show like the pages flipping over and over and over again.
Yeah.
To denote the passage of time and all that, and it'd just be there was that steady feed of like boots crunching through the snow. Occasionally one of them would slip and you'd like break your ankle or whatever.
So I spent an entire like a half day at work using the Oregon Trail to predict Ohio State football. This summer, don't think I'm above finding a way to incorporate the Amazon Trail, the Yukon Trail, and the seldom played Africa Trail and somehow get them to have something to do with Ohio State. So hopefully all you guys click on those so I can keep playing computer games at the office.
Absolutely, yeah. You probably, should you play the Amazon Trail, you will get beriberi and die. Because that is how every single Amazon Trail adventure I ever undertook ended up. So, you know, just be
hard.
It is really hard. You do get to take a lot of cool pictures of different vines and, you know, leopards and stuff in the tree.
Capybaras. Yeah. No, but then you try to go fishing, and then you think it's a fish, but, oh, it's a piranha. And you've, you know, lost your left finger. Or, oh, that's an electric eel, and now you're dead. And there's no way to, like, discern which fish is which when you're – I don't know. Luke, I know that you're just kind of like looking at me right here. I think the point is I was atrocious at computer games. Still am, but especially was during those formative like 7 through 12 years.
No, I have no long-term memory. My 5 years at Ohio State erased my entire childhood.
Well, you missed some really great mech games.
I played the OG Oregon Trail, and I definitely played – Oregon Trail 2, but I missed out. I know of the other ones, but I don't have fond memories of having played them.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you guys ever played The Logical Journey of the Zumbinis, but that might be one worth exploring as far as an Ohio State season predictor goes. I think you get like it's either 12 or 20 Zumbinis to take with you on your adventure, and so you know we could sort of name them all after Ohio State players and just see. Roll the dice and see what happens.
Chuck, if you can find me either an abandonware version of this or like a way to play Zumbinis in a browser, let's do it. Because I've been looking for that one. Yeah, it's kind of not everything works on the Mac here at the office, but we'll figure that out. I'm sure somewhere in like a closet somewhere in like my mom's house, I'm sure there are all of these games. So mom was a principal back then, so they would just center each one, which made me super cool. Other kids had a Sega Genesis, and I had Oregon Trail 3, Kid Picks. Yeah.
Well, as we've shown, actual trenchant analysis and examination of the stats and the data and trying to project things logically as far as college football goes just do not work out. And so we might as well start rolling the dice on these little more abstract methods of trying to determine who the winner of the 2015 college football season will be.
Hey, I'm just saying, if you go back and look at our WWE 2K15 prediction, Ohio State was the last man that survived the Royal Rumble. So clearly there is a direct correlation in terms of projecting games with video games.
And the last one standing in the Oregon Trail. So we're 2-0 for using those. So this may not be a shtick that I'm done with. Not to say that we're not going to continue to use efficiency statistics and F+ and in-depth film study, and you find all those things around Nine Grant Moynihan, but we'll continue to leave no stone unturned for you, the reader.
Yeah, I think if the SB Nation offices could acquire some kind of octopus and just have like a little ball labeled with each team like they did with the World Cup and have an octopus pick the games for this coming season, be a good conversation piece, you know.
The Columbus Zoo were actually the real stars of the national championship game day, I think, in terms of social media. So maybe we can get some collaborative efforts working with them to try and cover this stuff right.
it's not a bad idea. It's our giraffe-based sports coverage really has been lacking, and we have a chance, I think, to expand on that. I think now we're at the point, if you're still listening to this, where we should probably wrap things up a little bit. We will continue to cover this story as it develops throughout the entire year, what's happening here with Ohio State's quarterback situation. I think we're also going to take a look next week about our preseason predictions for Ohio State football and see how wrong we were, because we weren't using early 90s computer games as our prediction techniques. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe Chuck was, and maybe that's why his were all right. In the meantime, we will we'll wrap this up here. That's Chuck. That's Luke. I'm Matt. We're at Land Grant 33. We are at iTunes.com/SBNation and /LandGrantHolyLand. You can get us via email, anywhere else. We appreciate you listening. Thank you for supporting the podcast and our site. And go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.